Blog Talk Radio.
All praises. We are back just like that. All praises to the God, to the Elohim, the Abram, Isaac, Jacob. All praises. Make sure that this microphone's on. All praises. Our Father is great. Our Father is just. Our Father is the Most High. Our Father is the Judge. Hear ye, hear ye. Our Father cometh. All rise, for our Father cometh. He sits a just Elohim. And a lot of people can't take it. They're struggling. They don't want to be in this court system. I mean, you know, court system, you know, we have been under this sorcery to believe that everything that we know, the Gentiles have come up with that. They were so great and so mighty and so worthy that they were gods, that they created everything. Turns out that's all a farce, and the courts that they have set up has been a bastardized one of unjust, as we discussed last week in terms of the horsemen. So now we can see this court being ushered in. We can see this now. And it's interesting, you know, it's, where'd it go? Hold on. It has come down to this. This is what it has come. This is what it has all come down to. Ye who have drunk the strained wine, drink you also of its dregs. Okay, let's say that again. Ye who have drunk the strained wine, drink you also of its dregs. Now, we're going to get into that here in a second. Let's do this first. Just so that we can get that understanding. What is straining wine? What is straining wine? Fining is the process of removing impurities from the wine, while filtering is the process of removing sediment from the wine. Both of these processes can be done at home, blah, 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 and they will make your wine taste better. Yes. When it comes to filtration, there are a few different methods that you can use, blah, blah, blah. Nevertheless, the process of removing impurities from the wine, straining. Okay, so let's see something. Where is it? Okay, dregs. Oh, let's go here. Because all of this makes sense now. Where'd it go? This is strained. Okay, so this is the dregs, the definition. It's not it either. Where did it get to? Bear with me 1 second. I know I had it up. So dregs is the sediment that has settled at the bottom of the wine. Okay. So of a liquid, you know, your tea, your coffee, any type of grounds, anything that, you know, has, you know, that could make the wine bitter. Okay. So what does this mean? So, you know, they've strained the wine. They've taken the, and in this case, we have to understand that it's the bastardization of it. So it's the converse of the good, of the righteous, because we have been in an anti-righteous world. And, you know, they use Antichrist, whatever, but whatever that is of no consequence. What it is an anti-righteous world, meaning things that should be righteous is deemed unrighteous. Things that are unrighteous are deemed righteous. So when they have strained the wine, the people being the wine, let's just use that. So when they had us in captivity and a derision, they strained our good parts, okay? And they left the dregs, and they made us drink of our dregs as they took the fineness of our people, okay? The fineness of our wisdom, the fineness of our knowledge, the fineness of our understanding, understanding, and overstanding, the fineness, our creativity, our intuition. They took that and left us the dregs and said, drink. They took all of the pig and left us the innards and said, eat. So everything that they had given us to up to this point, up to 7 years ago, has been the dregs. And we were forced to eat it or drink it or drink thereof. We were forced to partake in the dregs of society, the sediment, the wasted part. What is it? And this is the dregs, definition from the KJV, waste or worthless matter, dross, sweepings, refuge. Hence the most vile and despicable part of men as the dregs of society. So we have been dealing from a unrighteous or an anti-righteous dregs society. And of course, this is of our doing. We did this. But at the end of the day, they oversaw it. That's why they're having troubles now, because now when we go to Isaiah, is it Isaiah 51? Yes, Isaiah 51 and 22. But we're going to start at 21 and go through 23. When we go there, now these things kind of make sense, because now, okay, so we have been in these, and we have been the dregs of society. We've been the bottom. We've been the lowest. Now we're raising up, and we're being sifted. We're being refined, okay? We're being refined, and we're not being refined through this society. We're being refined through the spirit. And this is something that the society cannot grasp, because they're like, wait, we had them as the dregs, okay? But then Isaiah tells us, Isaiah 51, 21 through 23, it tells us, therefore now hear this, talking to Israel, you afflicted one, drunken, but not with wine. Thus says your Lord, the Lord, even your Elohim, who defends his people. See, I have removed from your hand the cup of staggering, from that goblet, the cup of my fury. You will never drink again. I will place it in the hands of your tormentors, who told you, lie down, so we can walk over you, so that you made your back the ground like a street to be traversed. So that cup of dregs is now being told to them to drink. This is why they got that look on their face. This is why you got Trudeau looking like he got problems. You got that cat out of Macron looking like he got problems. You got Biden looking like he got problems. You got every one of these heathens, leaders, looking like they got problems. I'm telling you what, I was having a conversation at work, and, you know, in my zeal of this walk, in my initial zeal in the truth, I passed certain understanding, and the Father humbled me today, so that I can see this and slow down. I was aware, but I just paid no attention because I ain't got time for that. That there are still people today that believe that a plane hit the Twin Towers, that a plane could bring down the Twin Towers. And I'm having this conversation today, and I'm going, and you know, the Father stopped me from going all in because it's not necessary. It was really a conversation set up for me to understand where, you know, the time, the dial, where the dial is, you know, that, hey, not, I mean, you're talking common sense where you know that there's no way that a plane could hit the towers or a skyscraper and it fall to the ground, because they have plane insurance. They have earthquake insurance. They build these buildings so that that does not occur. And they insure it greatly. So for something like that to happen, where not one, not two, but three buildings to fall is almost unbelievable if we didn't see it for our own selves. But at the same time of seeing that, we have to realize that there's a lot of people out here who fundamentally don't even have that understanding. Like, that's a basic understanding for the truth. It's like, you know, I got into this. I wanted to know the truth. I did not have time to sit back and listen to people pontificate and tell me their truth. I didn't have time. I heard it all my life. I was tired of it. And so as I started this truth, I was more, I had reached a point where I was so excited to learn the Bible, so excited to learn the basic instructions before leaving Earth, to gain understanding of this word, because I found me in it. I found me in it. I never found me in nothing else, but all of a sudden I found me in this, and I was excited, and I went all in. And the people around me were like, why are you going all in? You don't even know what you're talking about. What are you talking about? This is not true. You ain't nothing but a nigga and a thief. You are a dreg. And I'm going, but no, I'm not. And they're going, yes, you are. And I'm going, no, I'm not. And then all hell's breaking loose in the world. Then the black Hebrew Israelites get on TV and start browbeating these young heathen kids, and everybody upset. Then monkeys come out of nowhere talking about that these Negroes, something, I don't remember, that Bama, whoever it was. But nevertheless, you got people coming out against us when all we were doing was telling the truth. And we're going to get into that in a moment, because that's the key. That's the key. In order to stop drinking the dregs, we have to drink the truth. We have to be in the righteousness of the Father, because all this entire world has done is bring forth an anti-unrighteous world at our expense, at the Negro's expense. Throw out the Israelite for a second. At the Negro's expense, it has been nothing but a dire strait against us. And now I'm looking at their TV shows, and I really don't look at their TV shows, but I'm looking at their TV show, and it's, what is it, MasterChef. It, in its name, already is offensive to me. However, I took the moment to just look at it, and I'm watching the pride and the egotism in it. In it. And I'm going, I got my own pride, my own egotism to deal with. The last thing I want to do is be inundated and indoctrinated and look at the dregs of these Caucasians and their demented ideologies. I don't care about it. It has nothing to do with me. I'm not mad at them. I don't hate them by no stretch of imagination, but their ideology sucks. It sucks. It's horrible. Matter of fact, it is the abomination that has made us drink of the cup of dregs. And I'm tired. I don't want it. I don't need it. I don't need it because my thought process has been to walk this walk of righteousness. And every time I look around, and I see the world, the Khazarian, Germanic, Indo-European world, I start seeing the bastardization of truth. I see it. You got Shiva or Vishnu, you got Buddha, and you got Muhammad, and it's so interesting to me, none of these other nations, none of them would have any understanding, idea, clue, wherewithal of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yaakov, if it wasn't for the Israelites. Think about that for a second. Eat on that, because if it was not for the Israelites, would there be a Muslim? If it was not for an Israelite, would it not be a fake Christian? If it wasn't for an Israelite, would it not be a Jewish? If it wasn't for an Israelite, would it not be a Buddhist? If it wasn't for an Israelite, would it not be a Hinduist, a Brahmin, an Abrahmin? Everybody pissing and moaning, talking a bunch of shit about who we are, but they constantly use our stuff. They're using the Israelite wisdom. That's what they're doing. But they don't know how to wield that. It's a heavy, that Israelite wisdom is a heavy burden. And for a long time, while that wisdom was wrapped around our necks, burdening us as we were eating and drinking the dregs, they were good. They were good with it. Their societies, their ideologies were good with it because it wasn't affecting them. But the moment that we stopped drinking and eating the dregs of their society, and chose to stand up and deal in the truth from our perspective, from an Israelite perspective. Ah, them Israelites, they were destroyed. God destroyed them, and he brought the church to what? Where? How? When? That is not scriptural. On the contrary, it's the opposite. Four times. Blindness for a time until the fullness therein comes in. This is what we're seeing. And it's so interesting because we've all been saying these things for the last 7 years. And you know, what it is as we think it and really want it and we begin to manifest it in the spiritual realm, it starts to take its place here in the physical. So the manifestations of our wants and our desires is starting to come to fruition And it supersedes their desire because their desire was only hinged upon us not having desires. And so now here we are, strong, beautiful, not black, but Israelites. The healing has taken place. It is taking place. And that's because the cup, where'd it go? I will place in the hands of your tormentors who told you to lie down so we can walk over you. No more. He took the cup of his fury from us, and we are not to drink it again. And ye who have drank, ye who have drunk the strained wine, drink you also of it. Dregs. See, I have removed from your hand the cup of staggering, from that goblet, the cup of my fury. You will never drink again. So who's he talking to over here yonder? The ye who have drunk the strained wine. Drink you also of its dregs. Well, let's take a look. Oh, don't want to do that just yet. Hold on. Before we take a look at that. Pardon me, I was jumping too fast. Let me slow down for a second. Let's go to Zechariah 8, because this is, man, oh man, oh man. Our Father is great. Our Father is great. Our Father is great. He has given us this information. He has given us this knowledge. He's given us our wisdom back to allow us and our free will to wield it properly. He has said, here, take your free will again and wield it properly with the help of my spirit. See, we didn't have a spirit before. We didn't believe. We didn't. It was a Our forefathers were trifling as hell. Trifling. Just like their forefathers were. Just like the nations were. But our forefathers said, we want the bag now. We don't care too much about our descendants and what they're going to go through. We want it now. And as they did that, they suffered and made us suffer. So there was no, well, let me get it now and enjoy it. They didn't even enjoy it. Our Father's great to even be able to give us this understanding now and be able to shake off the dust of these filthy, trifling nations who want to come at us and say, no, keep drinking this drag. No, you keep your drag. You keep your mess. Because soon, that cup of fury that you've been trying to push down our throats is about to go to you. And you're going to be forced to drink. Forced to drink. If, let's get into it. If you don't do this, here we go. Zechariah 8. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me saying, thus, thus saith the Elohim, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Elohim, I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Elohim of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Elohim of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Elohim of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Elohim of hosts? Thus saith the Elohim of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Thus saith the Elohim of hosts, let your hands be strong, yet let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by my mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Elohim of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For behold, these days there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast. Neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, every one, against his neighbor. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Elohim of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And it shall come to pass that as ye were cursed, and it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah, and O house of Israel. Wait a minute, let's time out. Wait a minute, I thought everything was Judah. Everything was Judah. Everything was Judah. Everything was Judah. Whoop, whoop. No. O house of Judah and O house of Israel. This is our house. This is how the temple's built. You can't sit around. The whole earth can't be Judah and nobody be Israel. You cannot build a temple with just Judah. You can't. That's not scriptural. So everybody running around trying to be Judah. Nobody want to be Israel. It's just like Bob Marley said, everybody want to go to heaven, nobody want to die. This is the Gentile way. They want us to be confused. So when we wake up, they say, well, whoa, everybody's Judah. So we go to a Jewish person and say, well, you know, how do you know what tribe are you? Well, I'm Judah. Huh? I'm Levi. I'm Levi and Judah. Why is that? The kings and the priests? Oh, I see. That's what is going on. Everybody want to be a king. Everybody want to be a priest. Nobody want to be Israel. Okay? I digress and I went off on a tangent. But anyway, so will I save you and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. Here we go. You know, this is the time. He's separating us. He's bringing us together. He's separating us. He's bringing us together. He's saying, fear not. This is not about fear. This is why when those cats that got jabbered up, I don't know, you know, cats did what they felt they needed to do, whether it was out of fear or out of fear. I don't know. It could be fear that they did it. I believe it is. I mean, at the end of the day, that's how it was presented. So that's how it was received. Fear. You got to take this. You got to take this. But he's telling us in these days, these calamities that come, fear not. I mean, if you want to be who you want to be who you want to be, but fear not. Go where you need to go. Go how you are to be, but fear not. Now, of course, that don't mean you got to, you know, go doing wickedness. But when you are in a righteous spirit, fear not. This is why they don't want their truth. This is why they went against CRT a couple years ago. They knew. They were like, yo, these niggas is about to wake up. They already know that they Israel. When they wake up and they start talking about this truth, that, you know, talking about our history, and they start explaining that grandmama and grand and pappy and daddy did this to the, it's gonna be hell. We gotta do something. And they were like, yo, only thing we can do is just say that it's a lie. They were like, that's not gonna be good enough. It's just not gonna work. We gotta do something. Okay, well, we're gonna say it's critical race theory. A theory. We're gonna say it's all a theory. Because then it's their word against our word. They were all like, yeah, okay, that sounds good. That sounds plausible. It gives us plausible deniability. And everybody's like, oh, well, okay. But it's just not working. It's not working. It's just not working because nobody likes these people. Their own nations, the nations on the nation, nations don't even like each other. That's why he said he put every man against his brother. You know, they've been against each other for eons. We've been against each other, but we've been at the bottom. So our against each other was of no consequence. To them being against each other was a consequence. That's when they had the wars. They would go out and kill each other. You know, they do their thing, kill, steal, destroy. And then at the end, whoever, to the spoils went the victors. And, you know, not everybody on the other side lost. I mean, you know, Japan got paid. The Ishas got paid. The Indians who just got in the land in 48 got paid. The Egyptians got paid. The Moroccans got paid. The Libyans got paid. I mean, the Lebanon got paid. Iran got paid. France got paid. Germany. I mean, on and on and on. Everybody got paid except for who? Israel. The Israelites, because, I mean, shoot, those fake Israelites, the Libercats got stupid paid. They picked it up. Matter of fact, I don't know how nobody can, I don't, matter of fact, I don't know how people can talk to me with a straight face talking about after reading the scriptures, like, don't come at me talking madness. So, oh yeah, you know, those people are they're the people. I tell you that, how are they the people? That's not scriptural. They're the fake people. No, I agree with that. I mean, that's 2:9-3:9, right? Revelations 2:9-3:9. That's not difficult. But to say that they are, again, if they are the chosen people, why don't they talk to their God now and be like, yo, God, you know, here's the deal. You know, we are struggling. You know, we got this thing in us. We done put this thing in us, jabbed up. We need your help. Let this cup pass us. But we go back to Isaiah. Thus says your Elohim, even your God, who defends his people. See, I have removed from your hand the cup of staggering from that goblet, the cup of my fury. You will never drink of it again. So wait, how is it that he is removed all of this from Ishas and Ishas are struggling today? See, this would have already had to happen. That's why the nations are struggling with their own concepts right now. That's why they so mad at Judah. That's why they trying to come against every brother and sister that's out here talking this truth. And matter of fact, and I say this, listen to the word I use. They're trying to come against because they can't. They're hearing, they're so mad that some of them just cut it off. I can't listen to it. And some of them so mad that they just, I know that there's something in here that I can go against them with. And they're not finding it. They're not finding it. They are not finding it. Brothers and sisters have come full circle. And we have stood up. And this is what they're seeing. We're standing up. A mighty army to them. And this army this is a spiritual army that's struggling, that they're struggling with right now. That's why I'm just looking at us like, how? And we're looking at them and we get to read them. This isn't even difficult now. The discerning of the nations is not hard. Like, we get to read them in the spirit. And I think that's what the Father was doing for us early on. He was cleaning us up spiritually so that when someone comes against us, they can't use the physical against us anymore. Oh, well, you guys killed each other. You put your own people in slavery. Or, I mean, you're not perfect, or you did this and you did that. And we're like, yeah, okay, great. But what about your nation? Well, we're all American. Wait. No, we're not. What about your nation? And what about your history? Well, I don't want to talk. Done. This is where they are right now. They're in that transition period of realizing that we don't give two Phil Florence about what the hell they talking about. They're like, wait, anything and everything that we say, we can't go against them. That's right. That's scriptural. They can't go against our Father because he is with us. Our Elohim is with us. This is what they see. This is what they see in us. They don't want to say nothing, but they're struggling with it. They're like, God, these people, I just don't know. These people, I mean, how are they? We all struggling and they, isn't that what we said? How is it these people, we struggling and they, laissez-faire, they kicking it, they going here, they doing that, they enjoying life. Life is good. And literally today, life is excellent. It is. Now, of course, there's ups and downs, there's ebbs and flows, but it's excellent. I was talking to my brother the other day. I was like, yo, I don't know what I would be doing. I don't know how I would be doing it if I was not in this truth. I mean, literally, I just don't know. I mean, I sit back and I think about that a lot. I'm like, and I give great thanks because of that. I'm like, you know, I mean, I've come a long way. I've come a long way, and I'm happy to say that, and I'm very excited to be in the favor of the Father for this time. And you know, as I feel His radiant mercy, grace, and wisdom upon me, it gives me great joy. Matter of fact, I am raptured within His mercy, in His grace, in His presence. I'm raptured in it. See, we can use that word too, for us. And it makes more sense when we use it. I mean, this is not hard anymore. It really isn't. And I find myself kind of giddy and giggling at the situations because it's like, you know, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? I mean, these words, the scriptures are bouncing off the page and they're coming out so hardcore that it's like I said, it's a double-edged sword. And we get to wield this double-edged sword. And as long as we're wielding it, we can wield it righteously or unrighteously at this time. That's our free will to do so based on scriptures, on our awakening. But if we wield it unrighteously, well, then we will be judged like them. They've got nothing. I mean, we will be judged like a Gentile because at that moment, at that time when we're not doing the right thing, we are then doing Gentile ease. We are being a Gentile. We are being Esau. I know brothers don't want to hear that. I don't want to shoot. I ain't Esau. You are Esau if you are not righteously treating people the way you want to be treated. Now let's move forward because that's a good segue. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus saith the Elohim of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says the Elohim of hosts, and I repented not. So again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Judah, fear not. So this is Jerusalem, synonymous with Israel, Judah, right? Jerusalem and to the house of Judah, fear ye not. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man. Hear it. Okay. Ooh. Hold on. Here it goes. Wait a minute. Oh, no. I was like, what happened? It went back a chapter. Hold on. Okay, here we go. So here is how we move forward as a individual and a collective. This is what we've always been talking about, how you got to do, you got to make sure that you are doing something. See, the heathen and the Gentiles just said, just you ain't got to do nothing. You just got to love Jesus and it'll all work out for you, because it was at our expense. But now, since now we get to manifest desires and manifest them in a righteous way, now there's certain things that we have to do. This is the criteria, okay? The criteria these are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. And love no false oath. Let's rewind that. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. And love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, saith our Elohim. Now, if we take a look at that false oath, this is what this heathen Gentile society has been built on. False oaths. It has told us that you need to be an oath seeker. You need to be in this fraternity or this sorority, and you got to take this oath. Everything in this court of unjust laws, you know, you got to say this oath. In this the police station that is a overseer of the unjust laws, you got to take this oath. For the killing and stealing and destruction throughout the world, to be part of it, its army, the beast's army, you have to take an oath to be in leadership. Everything that you do to have success in this world, there has to be an oath taken. I would venture to say, if we just use dollars and cents, I would venture to say, since I'm working in this field, but I would venture to say that if you're making over 200, you're taking an oath. I think that's a fair assessment. But nevertheless, this is the oaths he's telling you not to do. And love no false oath. For all the, when you go to the church, you go to these churches, you take an oath. The bread and the wine, it's an oath. They're 66, that's an oath. Their belief in their preachers, that's an oath. Matter of fact, let's get it. I just want to get it before we go any further, because we got some time. A solemn promise, often invoking a divine witness regarding one's future action or behavior. That's why the system is being destroyed, because it's full of oath takers, oath keepers. It's full of oath. Love. For the love of oath. And the Father clearly told you, this is why they don't read these things. And love no false oath, for all these are things that I hate, saith the Elohim. And the word of the Elohim of hosts came unto me, saying, thus saith the Elohim of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore, love the truth and peace. Thus saith the Elohim of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and inhabitants of many cities. And the inhabitants, I'm going to read that again because I read it kind of crazy, but I'm going to read it again. Thus saith the Elohim of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Elohim and seek the Elohim of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Elohim of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Elohim. Thus saith the Elohim of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that Elohim, that your Elohim is with you. Voila. This is where we're coming to. Don't you see it? It's a setup. The Father set him up. He's going to break their pride. He's going to break their yoke. And they're going to be stuck either drinking the cup of his wrath or cleaving. And we ain't got to do nothing and say, you go out and you do this. No, they're going to come to us. But he said above, he said that we have to love our neighbor. So we got to get ourselves cleaned up and love and show more love to his creation. So when he sends these 10, these other nations to us that he chose, when he sends them to us, then we're prepared for them. We can prepare a way for them. I mean, that's just, there's our light. Boom. That's it. Because the rest of them are going to feel this. The rest of them are going to feel this. And this is black, white, Puerto Rican, Haitian, blue, green, yellow, red, orange, whatever color. If you are of the nations, this is what you're going to feel. Second fast, revelations as to the coming judgment on the heathen. It's the second Baruch. You know, I love this joint. Second Baruch, the book of the apocalypse of Baruch, the son of Neriah. Now, and I'm going to give credit where credit's due. Brother Judah read this, but when he did, I was like, holy Toledo, this is it. This is where we've come, because I would always go to, in Second Baruch, I would go to, the coming judgment, the woe, the 12 woes. This is where the 12 woes are, okay? And that's 26 to 30. Brother Judah was reading 13, okay? So 26 to 30, that's the 12 woes that are to come upon the earth, the Messiah and the temporary messianic kingdom. So let's just read the 12 woes and just see where we at. Let's just see where we at again, since, you know, brother, you know, Levi, he liked to talk about, you know, the apocalypse of Abraham. You know, we talking, brother Jude talking about the apocalypse of Peter and Paul. Let's just talk about the apocalypse of Baruch over here, the 12 woes, right quick. Whoa. Right? Like straight up, whoa. So, and he answered and said unto me, into 12 parts, let me just go back. And I answered and said, will that tribulation which is to be continue a long time? And will that necessity embrace many years? And he answered and said unto me, into 12 parts is that time divided, and each one of them is reserved for that which is appointed for it. In the first part, there shall be the beginning of commotions, confusion, commotion, whatever. And in the second part, there shall be slayings of the great ones. Okay, I mean, we've seen all this so far. It sounds like our system that we're living in. And in the third part, the fall of many by death. Okay, I mean, bad in a thousand so far, you know. And in the fourth part, the sending of the sword. That's all this stuff has already happened. And in the fifth part, famine and the withholding of rain. Okay, so we got some famine and some drought. That's true. All that's happened. And in the sixth part, earthquakes and terrors. Eight, wanting. So let's do this because lacking in a certain required or necessary quality. Wanting. Okay. So in the eighth, wanting. The ninth, and in the eighth, I'm sorry, I said it backwards. And in the sixth part, earthquakes and terrors, wanting. And in that's the seventh. The seventh part is wanting. And in the eighth part, or lacking thereof. And in the eighth part, a multitude of specters and attacks of the Shadim. Are we not seeing that? Are we, you know, they go, oh, it's aliens. And I asked a question the other day because, you know, I get these things sent to me and stuff. Hey, look at this. And I'm going, why is it that everything alien is always grainy? How come it can't be clear? I mean, shoot, we got 4K, we got double J, we got high res, high def, everything. And all of a sudden, when it comes to the aliens, we get SD, you know, straight up standard. We don't even get standard. We get the 1976 channel resolution. The first season of Gilligan Island. I mean, it's like, come on. What is this? So my point of that is that everything seems like it's some sort of spirit movement. So we got attack of the specters and the attacks to the Shadim, okay? And in the ninth part, the fall of fire. Has this not been wildfires? And it could still be more, I'm sure. And in the tenth part, rapine and much oppression. I mean, there has been much oppression and rapine. Let's get it, rapine, because I'm like, what the hell, what's he talking about? Rapine. Violent, and I've done this before, the violent seizure of someone's property. That hasn't happened. I mean, that's all of the 18th, that's all of what, that's all the 17th century. I mean, 18th century. That's right. 18th and 17th, right? What is it? The 19th century, too, right? All that. You know what they did? The violent seizure of someone's property. Violent seizure. Give it to me. It's mine. Off with this head. You niggas ain't nothing. You Indian niggas, kill them. Y'all got to be moved over here, and we're going to take your property. And they did it. We're going to flood this whole town and take that property. We're going to take his wife. We're going to take his son. We're going to take his daughter. Property. Violent seizure. That hasn't happened. And in the 11th part, wickedness and unchastity. You don't see this? These people half naked running around. They've got the jangs running around out. They want to show their mess. They think that everything is about them and their vanity. They don't care. That's what's going on, unchastity. And in the 12th part, confusion from the mingling together of all those. Boom, that's where we're at. We're now in the 12th woe. All of that is happening now. That's why I read it again, because it's fitting. All of this stuff, all from the first woe to the 11th woe, is all happening now. So what is the 12th woe? And in the 12th part, confusion from the mingling together of all those things aforesaid. I'll read the rest because it's important. For these parts, this is 14, for these parts of that time are reserved and shall be mingled one with another and minister one to another. For some shall leave out some of their own and receive in its stead from others, and some complete their own and that of others, so that those may not understand who are upon the earth in those days, that this is the consummation of the times. All right. I nevertheless, as I'm going to move it, I'm going to read on. I'm going to read to the end of this little piece. I nevertheless, whoever understands shall then be wise, for the measure of reckoning of that time are two parts, a week of 7 weeks. And I answered and said, it is good for man to come and behold, but is it better that he should not come lest he fall? But I will say this also. Will he who is incorruptible despise those things which are corruptible, and whatever befalls in the case of those things which are corruptible, so that he might look only to those things which are not corruptible? But if, O Lord, those things shall assuredly come to pass, which you have foretold to me, so do you show this also unto me, if indeed I have found grace in your sight. Is it in one place, or is it one of the parts of the earth that those things are come to pass? Or will the whole earth experience them? So, you know, Baruch's like, yo, you know, I understand kind of what you're talking about, but I mean, is it good for people to even understand what you're telling me, for them to know this? Because should I say this? Because I mean, what good is it for me to tell a corrupted person? Would they even understand? Now watch this. Here's the answer. And he answered and said unto me, whatever will then befall the whole earth. Therefore, all who live will experience them. For at that time, I will protect only those who were found in those self same days in this land. See, wait a minute, time out. This land. This is why it's so important for us to understand where we from. You know, brother, this dude on TikTok, I'll digress for a second. This dude on Tickums Tockums, he said, and I just was like, yeah, all right, man, whatever, dude. It don't even matter. It's not even for me to even explain it to you, because if I got to explain this to you, then you really ain't even in the game, to be honest with you. You know what I'm saying? So hold on. He said, I've got a view all. Sorry about that. Where is this cat? Here you go. All right, so he was pontificating about this guy. The whole thing was about where we come from. This is Tickums Tockums. And this guy, BK Love, he said, do you really think the powers that be want us to know where we came from or where we come from? And he went off and he was like, let me get to it. I digress. I know. Just bear with me a second. It's going somewhere. I'll be always doing this. It's crazy. just so many. It was 30 convos. I stopped after a minute because I was like, this dude is useless. Hold on a second. I'm almost to the first one. Okay. He was talking about, it's just too much. I really can't even really get into it, but it's just so much. He's so ridiculous. First of all, he's talking about without money, you're no one. With money, you run shit. Ask a Rothschild. They control what you can and can't do. And, you know, if this is all him talking, if that were the case, natives would run America, but your belief system got you in a fairy tale with no happy ending. Okay, so now you telling me about my, you know, I'm dealing in fairy tales. Okay, but proof is in the pudding. Don't matter what they say. Evidence is out and been out. Only thing that would change is where you from. That's it. I thought that was the whole point. If, wait a minute. I'm native from these lands, first to be here, and it don't change shit. The government and people with money still control it. Okay. Do some research on Bill Gates. Here we go. The, you know, so weak and surfaceable that they always want to talk about, as if I don't know nothing about Bill Gates. You see what I'm saying? Like the audacity, the gumption of these people. Look what he's doing and come back and tell me you and my broke ass can do that. He's white. Okay. Laugh my ass off. They got money. Well, I'm they, and I don't get money like you think. $400 a year if I'm lucky, because I'll ask them about reparations. You're using that theory, K. Well, over 23,000 years ago, many years before that, Clovis were first to be here, had kids born on this land, creating natives. Okay, now Clovis people are extinct, and the natives born on this land aren't. So what's your point? Natives still here before anyone else, and that's your... What bag, blah, blah, this dude's full of doo-doo. It doesn't even really matter. Straight up dookie, right? Straight up dookie. Because all I said was, hey, let me ask you, do you get or have you received reparations? The answer is yes. He gets $400, so he says a year. That's more than I get, nigga. So, I mean, you a Bama if you think that you're going to sit here and try to question my intellect. But anyway, I digress. I digress. Because all that was to say was that in those self same days in this land, and it shall come to pass when all is accomplished that was to come to pass in those parts. Let me back up. I read that little excerpt because these are the people who proclaim to be Native Americans today. They are Native Americans, and they okay with the way things are, but this their land. This their land. But they're okay with everything. They just want money and shit, as he says. That's what they want. They just want this money. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if this was my land, wouldn't I want it all? I don't want their paper money. I want my land. I want the resources. And I want the truth of it. And it's funny because the only people that are saying that are these Negroes. So it goes back to what I was saying last week. This is the Solomon conundrum they're in. They're the lady who said, cut it in half. Just give me my money. I don't care. Give me my half. Give me my money. We're the people that are saying, well, nah, you ain't cutting it in half. We want it all. We want the whole baby. We want all the land. See? This thing has come full circle to where the he talking about Clovis. What is that? What? Let me just see real quick, because I didn't even pay that any attention until I just saw it tonight. But, you know, Clovis people, they all extinct. Oh, how highly it's our people. What the hell is this? But Clovis culture is a prehistoric Paleo-American archaeological culture named for distinct stone and bone tools. Come on, man. You guys, these people, man, whatever. So we want the land. We want the totality of the land back. That's all. We don't want none of their history. We don't want none of their system. We want our land. We want our land. We'll deal with their infrastructure. We'll let the father deal with their infrastructure, but we want our land back. We don't want half. We don't want a third. We don't want a quarter. We want it all. And this is why they're struggling right now, because we're not asking for a piece. We're asking for it all. And they're like, well, wait, how do you know that it's yours? And now here we are breaking it down. And it shall come to pass when all is accomplished that was to come to pass in those days, in those parts, that the Messiah shall then begin to be revealed. And Behemoth shall be revealed from his place, and Leviathan shall ascend from the sea. Those two great monsters which I created on the fifth day of creation, and shall have kept until that time, and then they shall be for the food for all that are left. The earth also shall yield its fruit 10,000-fold, and on each vine there, and it gives a question mark because they said, I don't know, but each fig, grape, you know, whatever vine, there shall be 1,000 branches, and each branch shall produce 1,000 clusters, and each cluster produce 1,000 grapes, and each grape produce a core of wine. And those who have hungered shall rejoice. Moreover, also, they shall behold marvels every day. For wind shall go forth from before me to bring every morning the fragrance of aromatic fruits, and at the close of the day, clouds distilling the dew of health. And it shall come to pass at that same time that the treasury of manna shall again descend from on high, and they will eat of it those years, because these are they who have come to the consummation of time. And it shall come to pass after these things, when the time of the advent of the Messiah is fulfilled, that he shall return in glory. Hallelujah, right there. Woo! Hallelujah. These fools don't know what they read. These fools don't know what they got themselves into. They don't. They're so soft. They're so weak. They're so timid. They're so hateful. They're so dumb that they do not recognize the consummation of time. They just don't. It's sad. It really is. It's really sad. But anyway, so be it. So sad, unlucky. And you're just going to have to take these hands. That's all that's all I keep getting out of it. The Father saying, yo, they're going to take these hands like y'all took these hands. That's it. That's it. Like, there's nothing more, nothing less. Take these hands, fool. And be prepared to throw hands, because the Gentiles think they're going to be... The Gentiles think they're going to be throwing hands. See, we at least were like, yo, Father, we're going to take these hands and we're just going to take them. I mean, there's nothing we could do. You beating us down. We sorry. Can we get out of this sooner? No. Oh. Take these hands, niggas. And we did. But the Gentiles are going to be like, yo, we ain't going to take these hands. We're going to go out here and we're going to fight. And the Father's going to be like, yo, wait a minute. And it's going to be on. It's going to be on like Donkey Kong. It's going to be on and popping. All right, so we get back to this. Because you have, wait, second fast, this is 13. Second fast, revelation as to the coming judgment on the heathen. And when I, and this is when they, this is before the 12 woes, this is, like, we just did the entirety. We did the conclusion, the completion of the matter, talking about the 12 woes. Well, this is the time we're in now, when we're talking to them and trying to get them to understand that these woes is about to come on them. These blows is about to come on them. Second fast, revelation as to the coming judgment on the heathens. And when I had said these things, I fasted 7 days. And it came to pass after these things that I, Baruch, was standing upon Mount Zion, and lo, a voice came from the height and said unto me, stand upon your feet, Baruch, and hear the word of the Almighty Elohim. Because you have been astonished at what has befallen Zion, you shall therefore be assuredly preserved to the consummation of time, of the times, that you may be for a testimony, so that if ever those prosperous cities say, why has the mighty God brought upon us this retribution? Say you to them, you and those like you, who shall have seen this evil, this is the evil and retribution which is coming upon you and upon your people in its destined time, that the nations may be thoroughly smitten. And then they shall be in anguish. And if they say at that time, for how long, you will say to them, ye who have drunk the strained wine, drink you also of its dregs. The judgment of the lofty one who has no respect of persons, on this account he hath aforetime no mercy. He had aforetime no mercy on his own sons, but afflicted them as his enemies because they sinned. Then therefore were they chastened, that they might be sanctified. But now, you peoples and nations, you are guilty, because you have always trodden down the earth and used the creation unrighteously. For I have always benefited you, and you have always been ungrateful for the beneficence. I don't see where they ain't gonna catch these blows. I don't see where they can't get away from it. And this is 14 through 19. This is just the header. The righteousness of the righteous has profited neither them nor their city. God's Elohim's judgment are incomprehensible. The world was made for the righteous, yet they pass and the world remains. Answer, man knows Elohim's judgment and has sinned willingly. This world is a weariness to the righteous, but the next is theirs, to be won through character, whether a man's time here be long or short, the final wheel or woe, the supreme question. This, I would just tell people to just read this. I mean, this is Second Brew. This, I got this online, and it's in my pseudepigrapha. But this is just a great overall understanding of the consummation of this time that we're in. And this is the problem that a lot of the heathens and the Gentiles are having, because they don't understand how we're gaining this wisdom without them. And a matter of fact, we never get wisdom from them. We always had to gain it on our own. And now when we have separated ourselves from them spiritually, completely, they do not have a clue. You know, these people, these brothers, so-called brothers and so-called sisters who still run into this, who are dealing with the Jesus and the Christians, they're struggling too. They're finding their way tough. Like, to me, I'm looking at how I can please the Father and have peace and have shalom. My desire is to manifest the kingdom to come, because I feel that when I get to the kingdom, I will have shalom. I'm not going to be worrying about debt and going to work and, you know, having a job and paying bills and, you know, dealing with the man. And, you know, I'm not going to have those issues. I know that to be true in my heart, but I also know that I have to get to that point first, that point has to be obtained. And as I obtain the cleaning, the spiritual cleaning, the shadow, the destruction of my own shadow, you know, as I get to doing that, I begin to manifest the kingdom to come. And imagine if we all are cleaning ourselves up and manifesting the kingdom will come. You don't think it's going to come? We're the bricks. We're building it. Those fools don't even have a clue. They don't get it. They don't understand. They are so carnal and physical that they think all this is about eyesight. This has nothing to do with eyesight. This is all about spiritual eyesight. That's why blindness in part has come to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Everything is about a time. So if we're blind, and then if we were blind until their fulfillment has come in, which is their wrath, right? If we're blind while they're seeing, and they're seeing, and in their sight, they have been unrighteous. Shoot, when we can see and we're being righteous, that means that we are the kingdom to come. That's what Baruch was saying. I mean, our kingdom is next. We got next. That's why all of it, at the end of the day, none of it and all of it matters. It's only the only thing that matters is our spiritual awakening. All of this and none of this matters. But all that matters is our spiritual awakeness. We have been cast down and naked spiritually. Now we got our spirit back and we're clothed. We're cleaning up and we're clothing ourselves. We're washing ourselves and we're getting ourselves prepared for the wedding to meet our bride. I mean, and this is Brother Yaakov said, you know, which was very profound. He said, you know, I mean, the bride is getting herself prepared. right? I mean, a bride prepares herself. It's a perfect day. Everything perfect. Waiting on the groom. So when we get ready, we got to do the same thing. You know, any woman that has been a bride knows that it is her day. Everything's right. One thing is out of sorts. And that's what we got to get ourselves right. Not one thing can be out of sorts. I mean, this is why everything for us is looking up. I mean, literally looking up. Our Father is taking care of us. And he's testing us at the same time. That's why the Gentiles, that's why they can't see us right now. They're blind to us. That's why we're able to do what we're doing. Yeah, the technology, the algorithms are flagging our conversations and all that, but they can't see it. This is what was happening to us with these computers is the algorithms that they put into place to keep us from knowing who we are, to slow down our awakening. But it really hasn't slowed down our awakening. It's actually sped it up. Whereas what's happening with them is they're unable to see us. They can't even see this. They may get a wild hair. Somebody say, hey, did you hear what these black people are saying? They're talking about them being Israel. And they're like, Israel? What? And then somebody says something about Baruch, and they're going to go read Baruch. Then somebody says something about, the many books. They go read, they start talking about the many books. You know, this is what we're seeing. We're seeing how we are setting the tone. And we're setting the tone righteously. You know, we're not, you know, I'll say this. I'm not into the righteous vengeance. I already know. The Father is going to take care of his business. I got nothing to do with him taking care of his business. And his business is righteous vengeance. That's his business. I got no time. Well, you know, he don't need me. He don't need me to fight that, to throw them hands. He don't need me. He can do it. He good by himself. You know? I mean, because the Gentiles ain't Buster Douglas, you know, going up against Tyson. Shoot, they ain't even Evander Holyfield. Who they that white dude that what's his name? The big white dude that got beat up, Tyson beat up. I can't remember his name, but that's who they are. They about to catch these hands. They walking in all prideful, and they think they know everything, and they think they know how to fight, and they ain't gonna win. They ain't gonna win. As a matter of fact, it's gonna be like a 30-second knockout. It's gonna be over. Just like that. And hey, they're going to have no one to blame but themselves, because here we are. We're saying, hey, clean yourself up. Get yourself right. Be accountable for your actions and your people's actions. Don't act like, oh, well, I don't have to be accountable for that. That ain't nothing to do with it. Yes, you do. Don't try to act like, don't create a religion called the Muslims, the Islams, talking about you don't have to be accountable for generations. Yeah, you do, Ishmael. Yes, you do, son. Yeah, you will. You can think because you were granted a peace because Abraham liked you, loved you, that the Father shined on you to give you. But you got some payment to you got to pay too. You got something to pay for too, son. Don't sleep. You beat up the Israelites and the Hamites at the same time. You were cutting off Jangs because you got problems. Just as degenerate and debaucherous as the heathen Europeans. So y'all all about to go down. And don't be tripping either, Vishnu, because you're going to pay. Because you over there caste systeming our people. You treating them like dogs. You got them living in squalor. So you gonna pay, and you too, Buddha. You gonna pay too. Everybody about to pay, but nobody gonna have that money to pay. They ain't gonna be ready. They're gonna be like, yo, what are you talking about? Yeah, nigga, you gonna pay. And then we're gonna see who the real niggas are, the niggers are, the ignorant ones are. Then we're gonna see. We're gonna see when all the ignorance and all the nonsense is said and done, we're gonna see who the real ignorant, degenerate people are. Oh, and I ain't tripping. Oh yeah, you Lees over there, you Ishes over there, y'all gonna pay the hardest. Y'all gonna pay the hardest. Matter of fact, I think Obadiah said it best. Y'all gonna be destroyed, completely taken out. Straight up, straight down. And this is where we at right now. We in the new beginning of the Aquarius New Kingdom Age. The old kingdom, the Piscean old kingdom, was the Gentile age, the age of the Gentile. It's over, Gentiles. This is now the age of Israel, the kingdom to come. All praises to God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All praises. I can rant no more, because the Father has told me that it is completed. All praises. Family, stay strong. Stay up. Keep moving righteously. Clean yourselves up. Do the right thing. Think the right way. Move righteously. Shalom.